Seventh, whatever he says for you to do, just do it.
Hear that?
It's hard. Just do it hard. I'm afraid. Do it afraid. Just do it. When you come to that place of just doing it, this assurance we have that no matter how turbulent life is, you're always right in due time. Behave only and never tell. Above only and never beneath. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Just do it. God is good. It's good to see you this morning and to enjoy the presence of the Lord together. I count it a great privilege and honor from the Lord to stand before his sons and daughters and share the word of faith. We've been talking about the fruit that we are called to partake of this month. The fruit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Today I want to continue exploring with us what that is. I was having lunch with two individuals, it's got to be about 20 years ago. This guy, my first time meeting him, I was there because of somebody else that I knew. Made a statement. He said, "You are what you eat." It's a common statement, and it's a statement that is made casually, and sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it is made to mock. Sometimes it is out of a place of love. You're what you eat. Well, in a sense, this morning, I want to tap on that and say, you're what you eat. What you eat determines what kind of nourishment you're going to have. If you eat garbage, the nourishment you're going to have is garbage. You can't eat paper and say, well, this is vegetables and this is steak. Something must be wrong. Or we're not seeing what you're seeing. Well, the Word of God tells us in Proverbs, where we started out from, Proverbs 24 and verse 3, it says that by wisdom, or through wisdom, is a house built. And by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. If that is a statement that is true, as a statement of God to man, man that is created in his image and likeness, then whatever it is that God builds has to have the same principles. God must build with wisdom, establish with understanding, and furnish with knowledge. Can we accept that so far as a premise? I will build on that and clarify. The thing about that particular verse is it releases to our spirits something that's not readily obvious, that God starts from the end to begin. So what do you mean by that? Well, without knowledge, you cannot have understanding. Are we together? Without knowledge, there's no understanding. And wisdom is the application of what you know, that you now understand. Will we accept that? So, God, just the way he's always been, starts from the end to begin. In fact, when God said at the very beginning, "Let there be light," that was the day he created man. Because man is light. He starts from where, you know, if you want to build, you have to have a sense, a knowledge of what you want to build, have an understanding of what you need to build, what you are seeing, envisioning, and then you apply it. Do we agree with that? So we always start with the end to begin. In fact, if you don't start with the end to begin, you had no plans. Planning is about having vision. The word of God says, "My people perish because of a lack of what? Knowledge." That knowledge is the bedrock of vision. Let me go to the end to start at the beginning. The word of God says in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. Watch this. Remember, by wisdom is a house built. By understanding, it is what? Established. And by knowledge, the chambers filled. Now, watch, let's look at God. Proverbs 3:19, "The Lord by wisdom hath what? Founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens." Now, this statement here is very relevant because of the year that we're about to step into. Then it says, watch this, by his knowledge, he's told us wisdom, understanding, and now he tells us knowledge. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. What did he just say to us? He just told us that if you want to receive the treasures, you are going to have to break through depths, whatever it is that is holding on to the resources. Oh, you cannot imagine. Is somebody hearing yet? God says, remember, everything God created or recreated were hidden under a state of chaos. And God called out land out of water. The land was always there. He called it out. He called the birds and the cattle that were hidden out of the depths. There are resources that God has for me, that God has for you, that are hidden And God says, call it out. Now remember what we said, we start from the end to begin. And if knowledge is the end, which is the beginning, then what God is saying to me is that if I'm going to build, I need to call out the resources. Did you hear that? I need to call out the resources so I can build and establish. Rise with me. Say with me, Father, give me your plans, your vision, your ideas. And this day, by the authority of your word, I declare that the ground, the depths be broken up, and that the resources I need be released now unto me. In the mighty name of Jesus, earth, yield your increase to me, for I am ready to build and establish in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Sit down. Don't ever try to start building if you have not released the resources that you need. Because if you do, you call yourself to a place of frustration. You must have the assurance inside of you that it is already done. It is finished. The ground has been broken. How does the earth yield its increase? The Bible says it's through our praise. Praise the Lord. It did not say through your prayers. It says the earth will yield its increase through praise. So if I have that knowledge, then whatever it is I'm believing God for, I need to begin to praise God for, so that the ground be broken. Hallelujah. It says, and the clouds drop down dew. So there's an earth and heaven agreement. Praise God. Say it with me. There's got to be earth and heaven agreement for the release. These are keys of the kingdom. Me recognizing that heaven and earth come into agreement for the manifestation of the purposes of God for my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go a little bit deeper and talk about this, what this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge is. In Exodus, the 31st chapter, and the 3rd verse, we read about the building of the tabernacle. This is the first thing that we see that God is permitting to be built. And he says, actually, let's take it from verse 1, and then verse 3 is what we want. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, behold, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have, what? Filled him with the, what? Spirit of God. I have filled him with what? The Spirit of God. I have filled him with what? The Spirit of God. And how is this manifested? In wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge. And in all manner of workmanship. This is whatever you lay your hands to do will prosper. And God is saying that the Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom, is the spirit of understanding, is the spirit of knowledge. Did you get that? So when we're talking about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, we're talking about the capsule called the Spirit of God. And if that is the case, then when you have the Spirit of God, then those three things have to be manifested. Because you are what you eat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That statement is restated in Exodus 35 and verse 31. Exodus 35 and verse 31. Moses is restating what God said. And he says, and he had filled him with the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, manifested in all manner of workmanship. Why? Because these guys were bricklayers. They didn't have a clue about how to do whatever it is God was asking them to do. Other than the Spirit of God comes upon them and they begin to manifest what they did not learn. Praise the Lord. That is key. That the capacity of every one of us is the capacity and the ability of God manifesting who He is in us and through us as we surrender ourselves. First and foremost, the Bible will tell us that the reason God put the Spirit on them was because they were willing in themselves. They had the will to do what God wanted. Not because they knew how, but because they were willing, God gave to them what they needed to do and accomplish what they needed to accomplish. Are we together so far? God sees the end to begin. He knows what he wants to do. You and I are looking and sitting, standing, moving, walking in a facility that is based on that principle. Because whatever it is that we have here, we do not have here because of our strength and our capacity. Can you appreciate that? But God spoke. It's time for this. And that was that. And how are we going to do that when we are broke? When we don't have anything? It's going to be there. Okay. Oh, that means the praise and worship team cannot be behind there anymore. That means we're going to need another stage. That means, oh no, we're going to have to carpet the whole place. It's getting worse and worse. Oh no, we're going to need new seats. Oh no. But God, Hallelujah. It wasn't because our membership now grew. No, same people, and God doing what he wants to do, how he wants it done. And we did it in the very heart of COVID. There's no reason in the natural that we would have been able to do it. But for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And everyone that fully participated can boldly say, God used me as part of this. And the people that it's not going to happen and did not give towards it, guess what? They're still seeing the miracle, whether you participated or not. God said he wants to do something, and he did what he wanted to do. Praise the Lord. He saw it. And I remember, I think it was Brad Kingsley that did a drawing for us. And when you look at the drawing, I don't think it was intentional. It looked exactly the same thing like as it is here. But you will see Lindsay in the there was an image of somebody that looks exactly like Lindsay in there. I said, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, oh yes, this is done. Lindsay is in here. God saw what he wanted to see and did what he wanted done. Say, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying there's nothing that God has assigned for us to do that we will not do. Let the devil put every obstacle in the way, you will accomplish the purposes of God to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus, because the depths shall be broken up and the clouds must release the dew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why dew? Because dew preceded the rain. There was no rain until Noah's flood. Man was living under a covenant of blessing. And what God is saying to us is, listen, it's not going to be do and you get it done. It doesn't look like everything is wet, but you get it done. Nothing is soaked. You get it done. So don't look at, oh, we got all of this. Know that you've got him. And whatever it is that you need is coming to you. Praise the Lord. I like eating that fruit to just enjoy the fact that God says, I got you. I got you. The Spirit of God. In Isaiah 11 and verse 2, he expands a little bit on what the Spirit of God is. Says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. Mama prays this every Sunday. The Spirit of knowledge. And then it adds, and of the fear of the Lord. Now, more things are being introduced to this whole idea of the Spirit of the Lord. The main ingredients of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are already there. But now it adds the Spirit of counsel and might and the fear of the Lord. Now let's go a little bit deeper. And we're going to explore what all of that means in just a moment. But before we get there, this Spirit of the Lord, this Spirit of wisdom, understanding and knowledge, how is it imparted into our lives? We know that God gives it. But Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9 tell us something about how this impartation takes place. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom." Why? Because for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Moses laid his hands upon him. That's how he became full of the spirit of wisdom. So God uses man to impact us. It says, "And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. What him? Joshua. And did as the Lord commanded Moses. What? They listened to Joshua and did exactly what Moses said. Because what Moses said was now being said through Joshua. You are what you eat. That anointing that was on Moses is now on Joshua. And when Joshua speaks, it's like Moses speaking. And when the impartation comes from God, then when we speak, it is like God is speaking. Do you get that? Okay. Now, let's go just a little bit more. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. It says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." God gave Solomon wisdom and gave him understanding exceeding much, and gave him largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. What is this seashore about? That is God declaring blessings. When he declared blessings on Abraham in the covenant state, he talked about this sand deal. And basically what God is saying when he says, "and largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore," is that Solomon was so blessed with wisdom and understanding that he had the capacity to be a blessing to as many people as he could touch. This is a grace that God wants to bestow upon us, that we are not limited in any way, shape, or scope of the enemy, but that the blessing enlarges us and causes us to be people that are impactful everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Now, this particular statement about God blessing him with wisdom and understanding, when we go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked," what? "Riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people from a spirit of understanding, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee what? Riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Watch this. Wisdom and knowledge I'm giving to you, but I'm going to add something that you did not ask. I'm going to give you riches and wealth. Now, there's something here that we need to get. There are three, when it comes to resources, there are three levels. There's the level of poverty. Then there's the level of riches, and there's the level of wealth. And these three think differently. They think differently. The poor person always thinks about money. Everything he does, he thinks about money. My middle son, Adrian, I think he must have been around 11 years old. I remember where we were driving. We were driving down Leela. We were heading to our house at the time, which was on Jack Donner. And he's in the back seat. And he says, "Oh, I get it." I said, "What do you get?" He said, "Poor people are poor because they're always thinking about money." We're not having that discussion. We're not talking about anything even close to it. But he honed on it. Poor people are poor because they're always thinking about money. And he added, they are the ones that love money because that's all they think about. Huh? Out of the mouth of babes, poor people are lovers of money because that's all they think about. Now, the people that are rich, they think in terms of things. Think about my house, my car, my clothes, my watch, my shoes. That's rich. Rich people think about things. What do wealthy people think about? Wealthy people think about ideas. Hello? Wealthy people think ideas. Ideas connected to knowledge and understanding and how I am going to manifest what I am thinking about now, this idea. And so a wealthy person will sacrifice a great deal to get his idea manifested. He's not so concerned about things. In fact, wealthy people could care less about things. If they have things, it's all because it's connected to an idea. Wealthy people are not pretending to be rich. They are beyond rich. Hello? Now, with wealth also comes an understanding that is beyond things. It's about people. It's about relationships. So wealthy people think about relationships. How am I going to impact a life? How can I make this better so that more people can enjoy this? But on the flip side of that comes wealth, or rather riches. Yeah? And comes money. While the poor person is always thinking about money, he never gets there. Say, but as a man think it, so is he. Think money, and money will come. And you find out how wrong that is. God ministered to Solomon. So I'm going to give you wealth. You've asked for wisdom. Now I'm going to do more than that for you. So God brings wealth to him, because this is what the word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 11 through 12. It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. And then it says, for wisdom is a what? A defense. And then it says, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Do you know the word of God says money answereth all things? Yeah? So in essence, money is not bad. In its rightful place, God says it is a defense. When you have money, you can stop a lot of stuff. You can correct a lot of stuff because you have the resources. And God says, I give you that. But I also give you wisdom so that you don't get yourself in trouble. But if you find yourself in trouble, here's money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's go just a little bit deeper, and then we'll start dealing with some very pertinent issues here. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, Proverbs 2 and verse 6. It tells us, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above, God gives. And it's pure wisdom. And then it says, out of his mouth. The mouth of whom? The Lord, who gave wisdom, cometh knowledge and understanding. And God is a what? A spirit. Yes? And we talked about the Spirit of God, and we had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now God says to us, I give you wisdom, and that wisdom is manifested as the words that come out of my mouth manifest knowledge and understanding. Come. God speaks, and inside that word that God is speaking is knowledge and understanding. You don't need to manufacture it. God speaks to you, and with it comes the knowledge, the understanding that you need to do what you need to do. So the one thing that then might become a problem is whether I'm willing to hear what God is saying. But if I hear what God is saying, the Word of God says, faith does what? Comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Now, part of what we miss in that particular statement is the fact that the hearing that comes by the Word of God is not just you hearing, but everything around you hearing. But the things around you that need to hear you only hear you when you are subject first and foremost in obedience to God. Are we together so far? Now, that faith works by love. Somebody say, faith worketh by love. In essence, faith will not work without love. But God is what? Love. Yes? God is love. So faith works by the presence of God. And God is Word. Yes? So the Word of God in you and in me is what causes my faith, which is His faith, to work. But that faith works because I am first and foremost obedient to what God is saying. Because if I'm not obedient to what God is saying, then nothing will obey me. Hello? Do you remember the centurion? Jesus says, he comes and says, I need healing for my servant. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to come over to your place and fix the problem. The man says, oh, no. You don't need to come. What do you mean I don't need to come? He says, I'm a man under authority. When I'm given instructions, I follow the instructions. And as a man under authority, I have the capacity to say to my servants, do this and do that, you come here and so on and so forth. And they do exactly that because I'm a man under authority. He says, I'm looking at you. You're the same like me. So just say the word and your folks that are supposed to bring it to pass, they will go into business and get it done. You don't need to come. Jesus. So I've not seen this kind of faith. Not even amongst my own children, my own people. This guy applied his knowledge that became wisdom. Yeah? Do you see that? If this works here, then it must work here. I'm under authority and I have power. You are under authority. You've got power. Use it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says he laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. He laid up. It is stacked up. For which people? The righteous. And he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's a shield. He's a protector. For those who walk uprightly, who are the people that walk uprightly? They are the people who are listening to the dictates and the directives of God. So when we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we're talking about embracing the wholeness of God. And God is saying, I want to connect with you, and you don't have to do anything other than just follow my instruction. Just follow what I say. I'll do the rest. Because you can't do it the way I can. Hallelujah. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says to us, the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do what? His commandments, that obey his commandments. And then he says, his praise endureth forever. Praise God. Don't miss that point. His praise endureth forever. And Psalm 112 goes on and says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his what? Commandments, obedience. The key of praise that will cause the earth to yield its increase. Huh? But what does the word of God say about the earth and the heavens? It says, when you honor me in your giving, it says, check me on this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So that's blessing being released from the heavens. But with my praise also, my worship and my adoration, the earth is forced to yield its increase. Hear this. The earth yields what? Its increase. The earth yields its what? Increase. So the earth will only give you what you need and keep every increase. The earth will keep its first fruits. Therefore, the rest in your life is not blessed. But when you praise God, the earth is forced to yield whatever increase comes to it. To you. Did you get that? I hope you get in it. The person that does not honor God with their giving is shortchanging themselves. They are only just going to get by. I have enough for me, myself, and I. But God is saying, I want to bless you like the sand in the seashore. I want to bless you so that you have more than enough. More. I want to do more for you. Stop shortchanging yourself. Just obey God. Say, I don't have much. I'm broke. You remain broke. If you don't break that backbone of that enemy and say, I'm not going to die. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor God. He's number one in my life. And when you put God as number one, you give him first. He looks at you and says, you're my number one. When I want to release stuff, I'm bringing it here. I can trust you. Why would God want to trust you with more when you are a thief already? Think he wants to make you a bigger thief? Do you know that it's even worse than that? The Bible says that you have robbed me. It's one thing to steal. It's another thing to rob. Huh? Andre, look at that. See that? I stole his Bible. Do you see? If you don't give me that Bible, that's robbery. So if you have overpowered God to rob him, when you are in trouble, he says, you have all the power. Take care of it.
You take care of it. You're calling me? You're more powerful than me. Take care of your problem. Why are you calling me? That's a problem that people many times don't understand. I can tell you that the problems that I face are beyond description many times. But I'm still smiling, I'm still happy. You know why? I know I've got him. He's more powerful than me, because when he tells me I want such and such, I say, here it is. You got it. So when I'm in trouble, I just rely on him. You have the power. You have the power to take whatever. I worked for the money. You come here and you tell me that's my money. Here it is. But God would never rob you. He's just setting you up for something great and better. Amen? So the beginning of wisdom is having the fear, the reverence for God. But listen to this. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So wisdom is the end. Knowledge is the beginning. And God is saying, when you have the beginning of knowledge, you have the beginning of wisdom. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You cannot give instruction to somebody and they obey it if they don't have an understanding of that instruction. Will we accept that? Then let's look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It restates it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy is what? Understanding. So understanding is you knowing God. The word of God defines things for us. It says you knowing God is you having understanding. You not knowing God is foolishness. And you're going to know God, and the people that know God are the ones that do exploits. The people that do not know God are exploited. Make sense? Straightforward. If you don't want to be the victim, know God. Then you become the victor. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. God causes you and I to be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. So we need those three things. The Spirit of God that's manifested in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Have it. Have it. When you have it, you don't need to worry about anything. And the devil really doesn't have access to you. Let me wrap up with this. We've talked about the key of praise and it causing things to be yielded to us. We've talked about this fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy's understanding. And it tells us, watch this. It says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. And the years of thy life shall be increased. What is that relating to? Father, the word of God tells us about honoring our fathers and our mothers, and that same thing will happen to us. Yeah? So he's saying to you and I, saying, seek God as your Father and honor him. And I've given you natural fathers, honor them. Because while you don't see me, how you treat the natural one that I've given to you, whether it's your natural father or your spiritual father, it says how you treat them is going to determine how your days are multiplied. What is my days multiplied, and what is the years of my life increased about? It's about this. That whatever it is that should have taken you 10 years to do, a year to do, 6 months to do, that you're going to do it in less time. Which means then, if what was going to take me 10 years to do, I did it in 1 year, I have 9 years to do more stuff. Are we together? And in those 9 years, God causes me to accomplish so much more, and that's how the blessing of the sand comes into place. God so blessing you and me as we embrace wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, that God can bring you and I to the place where we can live on 1% of whatever income we have. And that 1% is more than 100,000% of other people that are still struggling. And I have all this, and I can do this, and I can do that. I can build whatever. I can give gifts anywhere I want to. I just see somebody. How long have you been living in that house? How much are you paying for it? Here, key, that house over there. That's your house now. Huh? Why? I have it to give. It's yours. Would that be a good thing? But it takes wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to get to that place. Is it possible that God, when you and I are locked into his mindset, and you are trading stocks or bonds or shares or whatever, can tell you the inside trade? Because he already said there's going to be wealth transfer. Huh? He can tell you, you see this company that's selling for pennies right now? By 20,000 of that. But that company is not doing well. Just buy it. And you finish buying it, and the stock shoots up. And you say, sell! And you sell it, and your 20,000 has become 20 million. Is it possible? Well, that's when we have his wisdom, his understanding, and his knowledge. Anything is possible, and God is inviting you and I to a place where we do not think like the natural man, but begin to think God's way, because he is Lord over all. Lord over all. And I need to tap into that. The kind of understanding we're talking about is beyond natural. I remember most of the stuff happening in this church did not happen because the people that are doing this stuff went to Red River or some technical school or whatever to study everything. No. That's not it, how it happened. I remember years back, God says, this is what you're going to need in the days to come. Call this one and call this one. Lay hands on them and pray over them. I prayed. Let them be. that is installed by somebody that has never installed an LED screen ever. Do you know how much we should have paid to do that? Did they go learn it somewhere? No. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, impartation. Can I do it? No. But if God wants me to do it, will I be able to? You know, the other day I was in the office doing something. And I said, you know what? Thank you, Father. What I'm doing now, somebody was doing it. They left this church and did not tell me what to do. And that meant that the finances of the church, it didn't matter what people gave, I will know how to handle it. And I sat down in that office knowing nothing, nothing. I said, what, God, what do I do? I said, this, do this. You see that number that you saw over there? I said, yeah. I said, get that number. I got it. I said, put it in here. And it worked. It worked. I say, look at that. I'm asking, tell me what to do. No answering, no phone, no documents taken. I'm saying, what am I going to do? And God says, we got this covered. We got it covered. There's knowledge that God will impart into you to do things that you never learned. You never went to school to get it. I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm just simply saying don't place your faith on what you know, because what you know limits you. God thinks outside the box and will bring you into that place where you think outside the box. Amen? You think the things that are happening in our world today is based on people thinking within the box? You can't be thinking within the box and have AI. No, people are thinking outside the box. That's in the natural. What do you think will happen in the realm of the spirit? And I wrap up with this second principle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, connected to the praising of God. It says, in everything give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, no matter what is happening in your life, give thanks. Amen? You get that? You receive it? Romans 1 and verse 21. This is what happens when we are not thankful. Romans 1, 21. It says, because that when they knew God, notice the statement, when they what? Knew God. They had a knowledge of God. They glorified him not as God. Neither were what? Thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God was busy enlarging the heart of Solomon, but their hearts are darkened because they did not glorify God and were not thankful. And finally, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. What is he talking about? He's talking about all the curses that came upon the Israelites. It's starting out in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through verse 10, talking about the blessings of God. You're going to be blessing. You're going out and coming in, blessing your city, blessing country, bless, 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 bless. You know, everything is bless, bless, bless. And then the verse changes. It says, if you don't obey God, these are all the things that are going to happen. And it begins to list all this stuff. and comes to verse 47 and says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. Don't be a mourn-faced person. He says, serve God joyfully and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. That's what God has on his mind, abundance. So be thankful. Celebrate God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, well, well. Normally you start with something like this. You've heard everything I've said. Receive it. Apply it. And let us all flourish together. Because God has greater things for us. A mother said to his son, says, in life, there are only two things to worry about. Say what? Says, you worry about whether you're going to be healthy or you're going to be sick. Says, if you're healthy, you have nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you have two things to worry about. You're going to have to worry about whether you're going to get better. You're going to get worse. If you get better, don't have anything to worry about. If you get worse, you have two things to worry about. Are you going to live? Or are you going to die? He says, if you live, you have nothing to worry about. But if you die, you have two things to worry about. You're going to worry about whether you're going to be in heaven or you're going to go to hell. He says, if you go to heaven, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you go to hell, you have two things to worry about. Original or crispy? That's the same thing I say to you. You have nothing to worry about if you just embrace wisdom, knowledge and understanding. But if you don't embrace that, you got something to worry about. It's all misery past that point. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we need not worry about anything, because we know that you are God in our lives and that you are the one who keeps us. By the leading of your Holy Spirit today, we cry out. We say, God, help us to receive the impartation of your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of knowledge. We eat of this, and may we live out in the integrity of your goodness. Father, we belong to you. Without you, we know we can do nothing. But in you, we can do all things. Let your grace be sufficient, and may we be greatly helped for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.